I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Twitter's CEO popped a bulletin yesterday that his platform will ban political advertising. This means no more ads for candidates or for issues. Jack Dorsey's move is designed to fight misinformation, even propaganda, at least on Twitter. Over at Facebook, CEO Mark Zuckerberg has been giving speeches defending his decision to keep political ads, including those that contain lies. Erica Franklin Fowler is co-director of the Wesleyan Media Project. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So it looks like going forward, a Twitter user hungry for a political message would actually have to proactively follow a Twitter account like the president's, or users could retweet something they see. But you can't as easily buy into political messaging if you're a campaign or a PAC or something. You think this decision will make a difference?
I do think it will. Obviously, Twitter has a much smaller audience than Facebook does, so this would not—it's not as consequential than if Facebook were to follow suit. But certainly, this is—it's an important decision and quite a dramatic one. It goes beyond candidates, so it's not just campaigns that won't be able to do this, but also those who are trying to raise awareness about issues or legislative agendas that are upcoming and those sorts of things.
Clearly, this leaves Twitter with political content choices it still has to make. Like, what if someone wanted to buy an ad, visit and support our national parks? Is that or is that not a political ad? That kind of thing.
That's exactly right. In fact, I would argue that it's that decision that is potentially even more consequential than the decision to ban the ads themselves. You can ban ads, and we know that advertising plays a really important role in American democracy and informing the electorate, but it's the next decision of once they decide to ban, they have to then define what a political ad is. And that is an incredibly challenging problem. Where do you draw the line?
Thing is, though, that Twitter and Facebook ads are cheaper than buying a flight of television ads or a full-page ad in a broadsheet newspaper. That was one of the charms of social media, is that the political discourse wouldn't be quite as expensive.
And for that reason, we also have evidence using Facebook data that it opens the online advertising market, what opens the door to lots of candidates, especially down ballot and challengers in particular, to be able to run and to raise attention to themselves and their platforms. So this will very likely benefit incumbents specifically.
You know, I'm struck. Twitter just gets to decide this pretty momentous decision on its own, private company. I mean, it has major implications for democracy, I suppose. Where are the government regulators here?
That is a very good question. The online advertising regulations are largely lacking. And as a consequence, you have two big platforms, because Facebook has made very different sort of opposing decisions. You have two big platforms making very consequential decisions about public political speech, and they're doing that largely because of the lack of a regulatory environment that might take some of those hard decisions about political speech out of the hands of for-profit media firms.
Erica Fowler is co-director of the Wesleyan Media Project. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.